Well, Ahmed is one of my new good friends. He and I have been getting to know each other over the last year or so. We've done some business together with some startups, and he's been introducing me bit by bit to more of the Turkish culture. I've had quite a bit of exposure to Turkish culture over the last several years anyway, but it's kind of been more surface level, and he's kind of introducing me to that more and more. And for that reason, I wanted to get him on here and really try to understand what is a Turk man? What is the idea of masculinity where Turks are concerned? What is the fabric of society over there? What is the societal setup, and what is the role of men in a Turkish society? I must caveat this with a couple of apologies. Well, they're actually the same apology, but there's two parts to it. First of all, I unfortunately have been down with some flu and things, and I tried as much as I could to avoid the sniffles and the coughs, but I just couldn't do it as much as I would have liked. But my intention with this podcast is to just as move as fast as I can, and just to have as many conversations as I can. So you'll notice I don't necessarily have the best sound quality on this podcast. I don't necessarily have the best setup compared to other people. It's because I'm focused on just getting as many conversations in and speaking to as many people as possible, rather than getting distracted with the technicals. So there's that one issue. The other issue is Ahmed, the only way I could get hold of him was while he was in a public place. He works some pretty long hours. He does have children. He has a lot of family responsibility. And I just caught him on the day kind of between when he's got back from holiday and when he's going back to work. But unfortunately, it was in a public place. So we tried to avoid background noise as much as we could. But we weren't able to get away with it completely. So I do apologize for the background interruptions and some of the noise of wind and stuff. But hopefully, in all of that, if you're able to put up with it, the conversation took a really good turn near the end, which is why this episode is longer than some of the others. But it's worth it, I assure you. When men were men.
I'm good, Alhamdulillah. I just returned back from my holiday from Turkey. I'm just.
How was Turkey?
Yeah, it was nice, you know, the weather and the food and traveling and family, you know, especially talking with family and friends from way back. It's always nice to have people around you. Yeah, it
Yeah,
was
and
all
what
good.
part of Turkey was this?
It's actually really like the middle of Turkey, Anatolia, and then it's close to Ankara and Konya, and the city is called Aksaray. It's like above 100,000, 130,000 citizens. So
Wow. So it's like a very it's very strategically well placed, and with Konya and Anatolia and the rest of you're in a very good location there then.
yeah, I mean, a lot of friends of mine who travel through Turkey to go to their home city, they mention my city as like, okay, I pass your city by. So because it's really centrally located, and they should have used it as a strategic point, but I haven't seen any progress the last years about around anything central oriented. But it will come in very soon. You don't know, but you can go
Okay.
from there to any place within like 4 or 5 hours driving. So it's a good place
Okay.
to be. Yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, as I said, I have family, 2 kids, my son and my daughter and my wife. And I'm currently working employ as like an IT service guy in the unemployment benefit office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and the government. And then next to that, I'm quite active on LinkedIn and trying to build up some business around IT and outsourcing.
Because you're quite interested in entrepreneurship, aren't you?
Yeah, I really got interested because of, I don't know what it is, the generational shift, economic shift, or cost of living or whatever. It's just that, and also the whole 9 to 5 gets me a bit bored, like it's like a repetition of many things.
Yes.
Just yeah, you just wanna you renew yourself and find something with a purpose, and then in entrepreneurship you can try to find that through, gives about some value and some things you in which you believe in, and from there make a living, but also really have an impact on people's lives or corporations. And yeah, I'm pursuing to do that as soon as possible. Yeah.
Yeah, and when your father came over from Turkey to Amsterdam, was that for economic reasons? Was it to look for better opportunities and things?
Yeah, I mean, maybe you have read or seen it that a lot of Turkish, the first generation, like my grandfather's generation, were actually needed after like the late World War, after World War period in the Netherlands and Germany and France. So they got invited like in a big groups, to go to do the dirty jobs here, to speak a bit nice about it. So in the
Yeah.
60s and 70s, they came over to work here. And then usually what you do is once you are settled, you try to get your wife and kids over here, and which they did. But my father was funny. He was like the oldest guy. He's one, the son, he's the one of the 5 boys. And then he was the last one to actually come over here. Can you still hear me? Yes.
Yeah, I can still hear you. Yeah, it's very similar to my grandfather's story because my grandfather came in the 60s to England, and then my parents, so my dad, he came over when he was like 7 or 8, and then he went back and got married, and then brought my mom over when he was like 20. He was kind of semi-forced to get married. So it's a very similar trajectory. It seems to be happening in a lot of Muslim countries, India, Pakistan, Turkey, these kind of places where you have to go to the West because there's no opportunity, economic opportunities in the native country. But you still try and find a way to hold on to those values from the country that comes before it, right?
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, there is still this vibrance, this I don't know, this environment of tradition and cultural influence, and it's less about the fast way of finding money, but more about the connections and the to give some love and affection to each other, and then that comes first, and emotional side, and this is what you miss in the West because we have a good, comfortable living. We all have what we need, government supporting us or whatever. But in the end, once you get older, after especially your 30s, and you have a family, you look for as we say in like the Muslim language, muhabbat, connection, emotion, and
There's a lot
what.
more affection between, when I went to Turkey, what I noticed was these are the things that I noticed, and I'm assuming these are the things that you're referring to as well, just from a male perspective. Between the men in Turkey, there's a lot more actual physical contact. They're willing to kind of touch each other, hold each other, hug each other. There's a lot, and then there's also a lot more emotional affection. They're willing to say much more nice things to each other. And they're not so competitive. Whereas in the West, the guys, they're very kind of isolated from each other. There's not as much affection between men, I think, in the West. Is that what you've noticed as well?
Yeah, I mean, what can I say? Like the guys there, usually they have they know what their role are. They are like the leader of the family, they are the protectioners. So, and usually they marry quite soon because they believe they have to be part of this whole movement of, family and kids, and to have this emotional life. And it's not just to have to, like living for economic things or whatever. I mean, you have to get your things right, but then after work and even throughout the work, you sit down and you just have a tea with each other, and then you just connect on more different levels, and then just talking business or talking usual stuff. And
It's connection over consumerism. Right, like
Right.
well, you're talking is because here in the West, a lot of it's more about going on the nice holidays and having the nice car and that kind of consumerist lifestyle. But what you're talking about is connection, is connecting with other people, isn't it? The relationships.
Exactly. I mean, there is this group thing, like when I talk also about the surroundings and how to keep people attached to each other. Whereas, like, if you're individualist in the West and you try to, as you said, compete, like to have the best of the best, and in most of the case, it's materialist
Materialistic things.
and then once in Turkey, it's less. It's about giving, like when somebody is in need, you just go and do it. You don't ask. You just say, hey, here you go. Have some money or have some support, or you just direct them to the help they need. So there is this group think of like, if I help this guy out sooner or later, if I ever get in trouble, I know this group will help me out. So there is this bond, this
There's a sense
invisible
of
bond.
community as well, isn't there? Very strong sense of community.
I mean, this comes, I don't know, I'm also comparing a lot of countries, Western or non-Western, and especially Turkey has this blend of like Arabic and then this Turkic, even like Balkan and then further, like Chinese. It's all like this mixture of like this special cocktail, as you can say it, present there. So there's a lot of cultural influences incorporated in people's lives. So when I talk, because my father's Kurdish and mother is Turkish, I'm already half nation. And then you have another guy from the north and another from the west of Turkey. And then you sit down, but you still vibe together. You just know what you're talking about because it's this feeling in Turkey itself. Like it's all intertwined because of all these, I don't know, these historical influences and then all these imperialists, like the Byzantines and then the Romans came over there and then the Ottoman Empire and then the Persian. So imagine like all these leftovers made what we are now. And then, yeah. It's a Muslim country, but people see it as really like the bridge between the West and the East. So this gives a lot of I don't know, perspective to like other countries that, oh, okay, Turkey can be modern both and also authentic and like Eastern oriented as well. So that's why it's always on people's mind, when you talk about Turkey. It's a special mix there. So I that's what I like as well.
And what do you like about men in the West? So you're talking about like what's good for a man in Turkey, the bond, the community, the connection, the role of the man, those kind of things. But there must be, because you said at the beginning that you feel like you've got best of both worlds of what hails from Turkey and what hails from the West. So what is it about the West that you feel like you've adopted?
Well, probably the best thing is that I mean, throughout my youth and then like in my adolescence period, throughout my the life I got here is that you can have an opinion, you can have a saying. And it won't disappear in the group thing. So let's say you have like a political view or like an economical view, or even like as a parent, you have some opinion on how to treat and grow up ch children. This is respected, because there are so many different cultures here, especially in the Netherlands. And then you start talking, and then people admire like how there's this opinion about many topics, and then you feel like, okay, I'm still heard. Even if you're an individual guy, they don't ask tell treat you like, oh, he's from Turkey. No, you're from Netherlands and you have this second background, but then your opinion matters more than where you are from. Maybe in the broader sense, they still okay, look, okay, he's this guy with the beard and the black hair, but your individual opinion does matter, so people take you in consideration when you're discussing topics around different stuff. And this is what I've noticed. And yeah, for the rest, I mean, you are respected for, your own lines, like the lines of your own house or your own workspace. People know what your lines are. They won't cross you. They won't hurt your feelings. And compared to like the Eastern the countries, they are allowed to
Preparing.
cross the borders, sort of to speak. They know their group, so they know they are allowed to do more. But here is like different, you know. It's not bad, but it's like you know when to stop, and you have this appointment oriented way of living, you know, like when you want to meet with your parents, you have to call them and see if they're available. Then you go and meet for an hour or two, and then it's done. But in Turkey, they just come by and ring the bell and just step in, and you have to be available all the time. So, and sometimes it's not nice, you know. I mean, you're with busy with something or with your children, whatever. But yeah, the life here expects that you have to, you know, call each other up and see if they're available, and then for how long, you know. Time is valuable here, so that's why. Because in the end, people work here as well. Like even the mother, you know, if they have children, they still work 2 or 3 days part time to actually like get to pay the bills and also be part of the society, you know, like this economic system. It has some positives and negatives around it, but then you feel like, okay, I'm part of something, I give value. And then in like Eastern country, usually the man does the whole running, you know, the whole housekeeping, and then I mean the house economics, and then the mother is taking care of the kids. So that's like also a quite big difference. But I now see also that the mothers, they're adopting a way of you know, working and giving also part of to the whole household. So this is also changing in the East as well, I guess. It's like a westernization. I don't know how to give it the word. People try to admire to have
Westernization.
like to have like an European lifestyle, and it has its positives and negatives. But yeah, you have to have like a view on life to have to pursue something, to have you know, a view around things. And I guess the Turkey is also trying to adapt a European lifestyle while still hanging on their own roots. And then, yeah, sometimes it clashes, and other times, really, people point Turkey out as like the modern example of the Eastern country that actually adopts a Western lifestyle. So, yeah, I mean, this is how it is.
But how do you feel about the Europeanization or the Westernization, or like what are the conflicts that it brings inside you as a man? Because there's got to be part of you that feels like, this is what it means to be a man, or this is my identity as a man. I mean, Turkey must have its own ideas of what it means to be a man. And then you kind of, you come to the Netherlands, or you see the West and you see the differences in that. I mean, some of those things you've already alluded to, but how has that affected your psyche as to what it means to be a man? There must be contrasts that you can see. You must see contrasts in Turkey, for example. The way that men are in Turkey, there are probably some really great positives about men, but there's some things that you feel like, this is better in the West, where men are concerned, and then the same, probably the same in Netherlands as well.
Yeah, I mean, to give an example, maybe it's like it used to be that the mother, as with if I give example around children, like mother does all the take care, you know, taking care, and the father is usually going out to work, and then he comes home, and then you know, he goes out and then sit around with friends, have some tea, and then go to bed, and that's it. But here in the West, you know that fathers do take care of their kids more frequently, and also they take even have Father's Day off, you know, like to have like a whole day
Yeah,
with their
but you've
children.
got your daughter with you right now, haven't you?
As I speak, she's sleeping now, and then I just got her
Okay.
out to sleep, and then like she, my
And is
wife.
that when you go back to Turkey and you kind of get involved with the upkeep of your daughter, is that considered quite, and I'm not saying this to be disparaging of you, so I'm not saying this to insult you, but is that considered quite feminine then? Or that why are you looking after the
Yeah, it's seen as a bit of soft, you know, like a man shouldn't be busy with kids. He should go out and you know, be with the man, and work. And I mean, this is a perspective which is from, I don't know, it's cultural, you know. It's not like if it's right or wrong, and it's just that it has grown. What a funny thing was, like when my son was born, I have known from my father that he said to me that my grandfather he couldn't hold his child in front of his own parents because this would be considered as disrespect to their parents. You know, like you couldn't have fun with your kids while you're sitting gathering together with your parents. So I
No
was,
way.
yeah, but this was the first when I got my son, I actually acted upon this, and then but my wife never knew this. They didn't have this. So he was like, "Why don't hold your child when you're with your parents?" I'm like, you know, I thought this was the right way, but it didn't feel right. But I was like, okay, this is how it goes. And then in the end, I changed, you know, and my father didn't say anything about it, but he also never mentioned it. So you usually adapt to what you heard, hear, and see from
But
your
do you feel
parents.
like there's a silent resentment there, though? Like, oh, you know, he plays with his kids, he shouldn't be doing that. But he just doesn't feel like he can say anything to you. But maybe silently, you know, like
No,
between
no.
a but, okay,
Between guys,
because you know,
yeah.
between a son, especially from Muslim countries, right? Like in Pakistan, there are certain behaviors that I exhibit that even though my father isn't saying anything, I know he's not too happy about them.
Yeah,
You can
it's
just, you know, a
similar.
father and son, they have that bond. You can bond. You can feel the son can feel stuff that maybe the daughter can't feel. You know, you just have this kind of almost telepathic connection with your father. And I mean, I can tell when my dad's angry, and it really shakes me up. I can tell when he's happy as well, without him saying anything. I can tune into that very, very, very fast, and it has a very strong effect on me, on my psyche as well at the same time.
It's the same with me. Like, if I take my child out, even, let's say he's inside, and if I take him out, then I know he's thinking about it. You know, like he's again going out with his daughter, taking care of her. But he doesn't mention it. But I still know, as you said, there's this his view. You know, like his eye looking, or that he wants me not to do this. But then he sort of sees it as well, that okay, this life is about both, you know, both the mother and father. And I also see what I do see on the other side of the coin. Like, he didn't used to play much with me and like my brothers, but then now he's catching up this time with my son and my daughter. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I missed this whole joy with my own children. Now he's catching up with them, you know, like playing around and allowing them to do stuff. Like a real fun example, like he has this car, you know, it's a Mercedes. And my son, when he used to start walking, he just jumped into the car and smashed the steering wheel and all these buttons. But he never said anything to him. But he said to me, like, if it was you, I would be killing you. But for him, it's allowed. You know, this is the thing. Like, they knew it wasn't right, but they just followed orders or followed the whole cultural system. But us, they do now see that okay, things are changing. We're also grandparents now. We have to be more relaxed, and they adapt as well. So it's all
But
going well.
that way of raising a son, you know, it's very kind of, it's not military, it's quite strict, and there is a certain honor to it as well. But like, I know it has. I mean, like when my father enters a room, you know, there's the mood of the room changes, and there's a certain level of respect and honor that you have towards the parents, and which I think is very good. It's very commanding. But at the same time, it does, you know, do you feel like there are certain things you just can't say to your dad that you would love to say because there's that sense of decorum that you have to have?
Yeah, I mean, you when you communicate, you know on which level you are talking with him. You know, like at some, I have really this friendship style of way with him. You know, when I was young, you know, I was like try to go out and stuff. I was not really an outgoing guy, but then he always mentioned, like, you know, I'm a relaxed man. If you want to go out, just go wherever you want to go. I don't care, as long as I know where you are. That's good with me. You know, like he did. Trust me, he was like, okay, like this liberating view of, okay, you can explore, do stuff, but just let me know where you are, whatever time or a place you are, then I know you're safe. That's it, you know.
Okay.
So he was quite relaxed. And then when it was needed, he was also authoritative. So some parents do know this, you know, and you know, there are other parents who are constantly like, how you say, commanding, or, you know, like being strict to their children. And this is bad, because in the end, the son, he gets raised up quite like a military. Then what he does project this to his wife or children later on. But then they feel this clash, you know, like, why are you commanding me? I'm your wife or children. So there's always this clash once they get married, because this is a whole another responsibility, you know. But instead, if they would raise them with kindness and with this, you know, this soft trust level, you know, this is what I got from him and my mother. So that's why I know how to leave my son and how to command him when it's needed. So, you know, this is actually the balance there. Like, as you said, when he gets into the room, I show him the respect of when I'm laying down, I just get up, you know, and I sit straight. This is just a matter of respect. It's
Automatic.
it's not a command, but this is positive vibe between the parent and the son or daughter. Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer this if you don't want to. I'm not asking you to share something deeply personal or confidential, but what is one of the worst things that you ever did that you felt like, oh my God, I've really disappointed my dad, or he's going to be really angry?
I don't know. Probably I am this example of the perfect son, not to be bragging or whatever, but I really never had this bad experience with him, and he never beat me or whatever. It was all good, you know. Like, and if I didn't like make a mistake, my father was like, okay, you know, it happened, or just don't do it
That's
next
very
time. But
nice then.
it was relaxed, yeah. So this got me thinking when I was growing up, like, okay. He left some room over for me to think instead of commanding me like, ah, he was bad and what, how you're like a bad son or whatever. I never heard these things. So he was sometimes too much distant, but on the other side, he was also, as you said, telepathically seeing things or feeling. So that's why he knew, okay, Ahmed is doing what he's supposed to do. So I'm not gonna bother him or command him to do stuff. So I never felt like there's this
I mean,
control
in
or.
that kind of setup, this kind of authoritative setup, it does create a lot of emotional distance, though, doesn't it? Or it can create a lot of emotional distance, which then causes, like, the son just feels like there's a hole inside, and then he tries to kind of fill it in other ways. Okay. But you're back in Amsterdam now, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's where I live. Yeah.
And how long have you been in Amsterdam?
Well, I'm born in Turkey, and then in the 90s, when I was like 9 years old, I came here, and my father was really already working here, and he like joined me and my mother here, and then it's around more than 20 years now, so I'm totally, how you say, incorporated in the Netherlands and the whole system.
You're Dutch now.
Probably more Dutch, but I have this really a strong connection with Turkey, and it's both. I mean, I use best of both worlds. Let's just say that, and to be
Okay.
like a global oriented person, yeah.
And what do you do in Amsterdam? What are you doing there?
We are in the digital age, so because we have less time, obviously we need to grab our phone to talk on different kinds of topics, on marriage, on the sex, on food or culture. And then yeah, we have to sort of adapt to this lifestyle. And what I also believe in, that we are, you and I are like the generation that actually is between like the old way and then the whole new digital you know, nomad way of, we have to take responsibility and tell them, because we had the comparing material, you know, we can see what was good and what was bad. So we can talk about this. So even on an entrepreneurial level, or both, like the whole the parent level, we can talk about it. So we should take responsibility. I'm taking you for this to do this. Like, talk about. Sometimes I talk about this a lot, and then my wife said, "Ah, don't you get involved in people's lives." I'm like, "No, why? I mean, if I can direct them to what is good and bad, I can give. If I can give an example, I should do this, because all these
Because
young boys,
men are in need of nurture. Men are in
yeah,
need of nurture. We've already established that already in this conversation, so it needs to happen. But it just needs to happen in a smart way.
I mean, both in your own community, even if it's in your own street, on your between your brothers and sisters, and on a bigger national level, you just have to talk more on it, and then just recognize it, and then they
That's all it
obviously gonna
requires is
pass away.
discussion. It just requires conversation. It doesn't really require anything else. I mean, after a lifetime of searching, I realize that, it's not about finding the ultimate book, or it's not about watching the ultimate movie or the lecture. It's just about having conversation.
Yeah, it's not, it's like a never ending, like a proxy of, you know, just the learning as you go by and then talking about it. So Because we all know when we talk with our parents, even if it's the worst discussion or the best, we feel liberated. We feel like,
Yeah,
oh, okay, I've said
feel
it, I've
calmer.
done it. Yeah, you feel calmer. So we had to have more
Yeah, this is
conversations,
why we need
friends.
more. We need more. You know, I genuinely feel like boys need more, quote unquote, bigger brothers. But I don't mean bigger brothers as in somebody that's always watching over their shoulder. What are you doing? It's just somebody for them to turn to. And I think men need all need, you know, actual men, people like mine and your age need bigger. I mean, I'm not saying this to obviously make you feel bad or show you up or anything, but you and I have had conversations where you've kind of come to me and turned to me and going, look, this is what's going on in my life. And you know, I'm like, I'm there kind of just going, okay, well, you know, you can think about this or you can think about that. We all need it, but the men are not
Exactly.
getting that, are they?
No, because they get these bad examples on series and TVs and stuff. They're like, oh, I should behave like a football player or like I don't know, like not the best
How do you
example,
feel
you know,
about football? Because I mean, my disenchantment with football is extreme. Because I really, really, genuinely feel like the footballers are, you know, I don't have anything against the sport at all, but I really feel that the sport is really damaging our men because, you know, it just creates this image about, well, if you want to be successful as a man, you should be really good with a football. You know, and you should have good looking hair and you should be driving a Range Rover and you know, you should show a lot of aggression on the field and fall over and you know, and fall over when you've not even been touched and it's a very superficial life.
I mean, yeah, it's just this 90-minute view of like what should be the best. But I mean, even the football players gotten soft, you know, they just act and play. And in the past, you know, I knew English players would really fight, you know, like the whole and the French people like Gascoigne. I don't know, you had Gascoigne and you had this French guy, I don't know what his
Yeah, it
name
was a
was,
bit
this middle.
toxic, I think. It was like overly toxic.
Yeah, these guys were a bit too aggressive, but then they had this presence, you know, in the field. But nowadays, it's all about the money and whole like the sponsorships and the brands, and
And
then you know, life
lots of
brands.
boys are aspiring to that, number one. And number two, there are a lot of fathers that are getting into that are getting their sons into football because they think, okay, well, this is something that me and my son can enjoy, not realizing what kind of aspirations are you actually projecting onto your son. You know, I mean, I see this all the time. I mean, I live right next to a football stadium, so I see this all the time, you know.
It's a similar thing, like Ajax, you know, the major team of Amsterdam. They always come here to actually scout for like Moroccan boys and Turkish boys who are playing great, you know, and then raise them up as a football players. But then, what I do like from Ajax is like they also give like parenting, you know, they show a lot of discipline to these guys. So the guys from Ajax usually are like the balanced footballers. They are
Okay.
not really showing off, and they just do their thing and just go, you know. And then this is what I saw from Ajax for they are really like the best in raising a good, like you saw Cruyff, you saw many players in the 90s, you know, they were all Ajax players. So they both have this dignity and also presence without being too into this fast lifestyle. But then yeah, this changes, you know, and I know it's not the best example of the sports, you know, all the whole lifestyle thing, but it just happens. So yeah, I mean, we should adapt more like, as you said, explorative lifestyle. You know, football is not just one thing. There are so many other things, like, you
Sense
know,
of
even
adventure.
culture.
I think men have lost their sense of
I mean,
adventure.
I'm now getting into arts. You know, like, I like arts a lot more than I used to be when I was 20, because
Yeah.
in art, you know, there's this whole story, and you just don't just look into the paint. Some families laughed at, oh, what are you doing with the paint on the wall? I'm like, no, there's this whole story. And once I tell them, they're like, oh, this is really nice. Maybe I should get one as well. So we have to have conversations on everything, you know, not just do stuff and just buy more. We are all in this consumerism lifestyle. Instead of consuming, you should produce, and producing also a conversation. That's also adding. Yeah, like as I said, my brother, he wanted to quit his study, and then he came over to me instead of, you know, talking with his dad about it. And then he said to me, like, I'm going to say father to quit, and then mother. But then my father is accessible at some point, but he is not approachable. He's not showing this, like a physical
But
way.
the point is that they still felt like they needed his approval about whether they could quit their studies. That's the point, right? Like that there's
Because
still that level of authority there that they don't feel like I had this when I was at university. I didn't even want to go to university, but I felt like I had to because I was told to by my parents. And I knew that there was even to this day, 15 years later, I just feel like it was a waste of 4 years. Could have been doing many more interesting things. But my dad agreed to what my mom wanted as well. And so if he's agreed, then there's nothing I can do. There's still that level of control or authority. I mean, I don't have resentment necessarily. It had to happen or whatever. But I just think, well.
It's a similar thing with me. I also didn't know what to study or whatever. He was like, okay, you just do what you like. And he didn't push me to actually do any specific study. He's like, okay, if you study and finish your school, you have the paper, like the whole diploma on the wall to showcase you have made it, and then you can get a good job. This is what they were told to, and I was told. So this was
But
the thing.
the reality is different, right? Like you now that you're at 34 years old with kids and a wife, and you think, well, you're probably thinking about there's probably 20 different ways that I could have approached, where I am right now. There's probably other things that I could have done.
Definitely. I mean, even the study you choose or the environment you're around, like if there's no, like, what can I say? Like, if the father is not an explorative type of guy, like he's not taking you on,
Adventurous.
in different holidays or different, events or stuff, then you don't get inspired. And so what you do is you just follow what your friends do or just read what in the news,
Yes,
the
I heard
news is talking
continuous.
about. So there's this external control on projected on your whole life, which is not the best way. And
Yeah,
in
it's very
compared to the
suffocating,
Dutch,
isn't it?
like compared to the Dutch kids, I see like, okay, even once they grow up, they take him to theaters, cultural events, museum, and all this stuff. So this is what I'm giving my son now. So he's gonna have probably a better inspiration than what I had. So, but then my father or mother didn't have this, they never saw had this in their own raising, so they couldn't give this to me. So what I did myself was like try to explore as much as I can, outside of my comfort zone. But I was still
Yeah.
a guy who was shy and not so
Where do
extrovert.
you think
So
that shyness came from?
I think the shyness comes from the raising of my mothers, like mothers always raise you in a protective way, like, okay, don't do this, don't do this, just, be healthy, be okay. And then because you go out, you're like, okay, I shouldn't do this too much. You just try to have a line, and then when you live like that, you sort of get more,
Becomes a habit, right?
it becomes a habit because you repeatedly do this. Usually when you go out, you think, oh, okay, my mother told me don't be too late, so I should be home at night at 12.
So
But
then,
instead,
afterwards, when you're in your own life, you kind of just start self-policing, right? You just kind of police it because it's such a habit.
And then in the end, you just make it a habit, as you said it. And then even when in your children, you're like, oh, you're scared to send them out. But I know better now that my son should go out and have hurt his knee or whatever, just fall down from somewhere to
Experience.
learn. To learn, to learn what is pain, what is suffering, what is. So then if I buy something for me
Because
next time,
these things in the childhood is especially for a boy, this kind of climbing a tree and having a fall and this kind of experience with danger is so important for a boy, and it's so missing in modern society, don't you think?
I mean, because life is getting more comfortable and everything is a lot of accessible, and parents are so, I don't know, still, like strangled with their own views of, oh, I shouldn't send them out into the dangerous world. But we are in living in the healthiest period and more secure, and all these basic needs are already met, it's all there. So why are you scared of sending your son out into the world? They should explore it. And especially in the Eastern countries, there's still this resentment of sending him out to study. A funny thing was, like, I was in my holidays, the niece of my wife, like the daughters of his uncle, she's around 18 or 19, and she wanted to study English, to have be become a teacher. So I told them, like, you can have an Erasmus fund or this scholarship to actually come over to Netherlands, and it's a safe place to study. She can explore and broaden her horizon, and then come back to Turkey and then teach English easily. You know, I'm telling her, but she's like, "Oh, I'm scared. Something's gonna happen and stuff like that." I'm like, "No, Turkey is more dangerous than Netherlands, because here, you know, it's a lot of balance between of around work and play and, you know, safety and stuff like that." I'm like, just send her over, and I have to convince her. And then if the parents still keep these ladies, I also told her, like, if she studies and comes back, she has more, identity and trust in herself. And then once she get married, she would also be not be controlled by her own, I'm missing this word, her own partner, you know, like, you know, have these alternative partners there. But if she raises herself up in a good way, you know, and in a more outside of the comfort zone way, then she will be a more stronger woman, and it's not bad. So I had to convince her, like, okay,
Well,
if you say.
the way society is constructed, as you said right at the beginning, is that it's because it's more of a, even though you've got that community and that you've got a sense of safety amongst community, it's also kind of roping everybody in, right? Like you're stuck within
Yeah,
this rope, you know.
exactly. Especially in the Anatolian area, compared to the Western-oriented cities like the Istanbuls and the Izmirs and Ankara, there
Okay.
the ladies are more liberated and more living their own life. And then the fathers and mothers already had this, you know, the study background. They are doctors, lawyers, whatever. So they know what the life is of going out. They can teach that to their children easily. And but compared to the Anatolian lifestyle, is like they are usually farmers or constructors, and they have this standard life, and they are not exploring. And then obviously they're not going to give this to their own child, you know. So there is this balance also in Turkey. I see this between these major cities where all the economic activities happen, all the study, the higher universities are present, compared to the Anatolian side. I can see it, you know, visually with my own eyes. Like when I drive from Istanbul to the Anatolian side, to my city, like halfway around, then you can see, like, it's almost like a different country, you know, like less green, less developed roads, less, I don't know, it's all less of everything. So, like, okay, if it's less developed, it means it's something, you know, like Istanbul's adapting change a lot better than other cities, or Izmir, you know. And yeah, this is what like usually the immigrants from Turkey, the most of them come from the middle side of Turkey, like these five or six cities, like Konya, Aksaray, you have Karaman, you have Kayseri, and then you have Yozgat, Sivas. Like the majority come from there. And then these guys and their children actually are the first ones who are actually exploring and adapting the low Western lifestyle. Comparing to some other guy who is coming from Istanbul, he can adapt a lot better because he knows how the Western lifestyle is already. And then, yeah, we were like the experimental guys, and then our children will probably have more like the better balanced lifestyle between West and East.
Okay, well, since we're nearing the end now, the same question that I always ask everybody, what who do you consider to be, talking about on screen first, who do you consider to be a man? What's the definition of like an ideal man on screen?
An ideal man is, if I look to myself, is like he should have the feeling of responsibility towards a family and.
What I mean is, give me somebody on screen on TV that you've seen that you said this guy is a man. Like
Ah,
he,
okay.
this is an example. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not watching TV a lot lately, but. Oh, it's a bit of a hard point here. Let me think. Yeah, I mean, not really a macho type of guy, but more like family oriented, but then both, you know, entrepreneurial and an engaging guy. It's a hard one now.
What was an example of that on screen?
Yeah, Yeah, I mean, we used to talk with you around Ertuğrul, these Ottoman figures. They're like these guys are both, both exploring and fighting, but then in their heart they're quite soft. When they are home with their wife and children, they project this whole love, and the love from the man is quite different, a lot different than Ik ga naar buiten. Eén seconde.
Ja, sorry, ik hoor je Engels praten.
Excuse. Ja, nee, ik ben er close in 2 minutes, so it's all good. Dank je wel.
Oké.
Yeah, so like this, you can do this the same in this current.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, like, they have a really good, they have a, like, what I noticed with Ertugrul is they have a really good balance. Like, and I've been saying this for quite a while now, that the man should, when he's required to be aggressive or be strong and those kind of things, use his might and power, then he should use it. And then but there are times when he needs to be gentle and soft, and have a kind of a mercy about him and kindness about him. And what especially what I've seen here in the West now, and this may be happening in the East as well. I obviously, but kind of speaking to you, I get the sense it's probably not happening as much. But the sense that I get is, you either get men now that are very, they're either one or the other. It's very polarizing. So they're either very soft, very passive, but then they have none of the kind of the good aggression that they should have. The ability to confront, the ability to embrace uncertainty, those kind of things. Or they have the ability to do all those things, but they don't have any of the gentleness and the softness. So you either get very passive men, or you get very toxic, or you get very toxic masculinity, but you don't get both. And I think what you need really is a man should have both things. And the best thing about a man should be knowing when to switch what side on. You know what I mean?
Yeah, this is exactly what I can see between me and my dad. My dad is more like a say less and do more, and more be more authoritative, and then just showing these things, even physically, with his presence or what he's saying, compared to me, because I'm more of raised with my mother. I have the soft side. I mean, I could know how to change diapers and take care of my brothers, when my father wasn't there. I just changed it. So when I got my child, I could do this. So I was gentle at home, but then I'm not adapting to more like be a, like a, macho commanding guy, but then in a good way, And then your wife expects.
But probably the ideal man is a combination of the two, probably, right? And he knows when to switch which side on when he needs it.
Yeah.
Which is what we see in Instagram, right? We see that.
The switch is very important, because a lot of guys, as you said, I can compare it to a lot of Turkish guys here, or even Moroccan guys, like the Moroccan do have this extreme of, control. They don't even show up with their wives to meetings, or when you visit them, they don't allow you to sit with their wives together, but ours do, but then there's this line, and then there's this really
but
macho.
Then they have none of the gentleness instead.
Yeah. So I can see that the wives miss that. And then the Turkish ladies are more, more smiling, more present, more involved. And then, so then they see it together and then compare it, So as you said, you should know when to switch to between the exploring.
And you can refine both sides as much as you need to. So there's nothing wrong with refining it further and further, but it's about being able to, switch between the two and knowing when to apply what, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's the ultimate act.
You have to develop this. I mean, you have to compare it with others, the good and bad examples, and then adapt to what is okay. And then just to know that you're from a different background, and then just learn from both East and the Western side. But then do showcase and then talk about it. If you don't talk about it with like the Western guys, like the Dutch guys, usually the Dutch guys are referred to soft and doing all the things that their wives tell them to. So we laugh about it. But we can teach them how to be both romantic or also both controllable and then accessible, because,
sounds like both cultures need to mix. It sounds like Turkey needs Turkish and Moroccan need to spend more time in the Netherlands, and the Netherlands need to spend more time in Turkey and Morocco. You get a nice fusion.
Definitely. They should. Yeah.
Yeah. All the more reason to travel more, eh?
Exactly. When you travel, you broaden your perspective, and then
You broaden your horizons. You get more contrast.
If you go to like the Balkan countries or the Russian, they you know that the man is talking. You know, like they are really aggressive, and then once you move back to the West, it softens a little more. And then you know, you have the examples in Netherlands and Germany. The balance is not there anymore. So then they don't usually have children, or when they get children, they get divorced. So divorce rates are high. And it's a sense of you know, responsibility, and also exploring and being like this leader type of man, you know. And then we miss leaders, as I can say, like we should have these leaders back in our life, you know? Like they are present and aggressive when it's needed, but then they are soft.
You need authority when you need it. The problem with authority is that, you know, that authority is really good in very you know, you need a lot of authority in certain situations, but in some situations authority is a complete waste of time. Exactly. And we're getting men that are either authoritative all the time and in situations where they don't need to be, and then we get men that have no authority.
Yeah.
And then there are situations in which they need to be authoritative.
Exactly. It's also how like life is you know, It's a segment.
It's polarizing.
Yeah.
Life has become polarizing,
Because it's so much study and work involved, we don't even have time to talk about these topics and have this relaxed life.
Well, that's the reason for this podcast.
Yeah, exactly. We should talk more on this, yeah.
Well, that's I mean, you've just literally hit the nail on the head as the reason why I'm doing this very specifically, and, you know, not focusing on like sound quality and, so, you know, getting a hold of celebrities and so that I can pick up on their audience and that kind of stuff, is I want to have civilized discourse with everyday people, you know, normal, you know, not, I'm not saying obviously to say you're a layman, I'm just saying that the normal common man, as in every just the average Joe, basically, I want to speak to. I mean, I'm referring to myself as an average Joe as well. That, I mean, obviously, we all have ambitions and everything, but I'm saying somebody who isn't necessarily famous or necessarily, you know, an on-screen representation of what a man should be, or because there's no place for this discourse anymore. And, you know, if we focus on, like, if I focus on getting people that are just famous onto this podcast, and really, it's the same opinions that we've already heard and seen in the, you know, in some, with some sort of subtext in the movies and on TV and, you know, in all the culture and in the media. And we need to have conversations that are offering a different perspective, because the lives that we're all leading are very different to what we see on screen.
I think I have, in compared to my brothers, they are like 22 and 3. I'm 34 years old. So there's this gap, you know. Okay. I saw that once they were born, they still didn't get the whole emotional side of him to do stuff. And then I was the one actually filling this gap, you know, like going with them to soccer, going to them to theater, or like school meetings, or these, you know, school grade meetings with the teachers. I just fill this gap up. And my brothers mentioned it sometimes, like, oh, we were happy, we were lucky that we had you, otherwise nobody would come, you know. But then I felt this responsibility, like somebody had to do it. And then this does, I can see now that this does create a different level of emotional balance between my brothers and him, depending on what I have with him. You know, like they know if they say something, that's what I'm going to do. They know this. It's like this automatic thing. But then with my brothers, they don't give them these orders or commands to do stuff, because this is a whole nother generation. They are like the generation X or the Z. And they are different, you know. They don't like commands, or they just want to do their own stuff. So there's this disbalance there. But they still show them the respect, because it's, of course, they are parents. So it's not that it's going bad. But I can compare this level of emotional bond between what I have and with what I have with. Can you still hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm just having a call, but I'm not gonna pick up. Yeah, we can continue. That's it. You know, it's funny to see because, they are younger and they have their own opinion. And with me, like, okay, Ahmed, we know.
But on some level, they must kind of see you like a proxy dad on some level. So your younger brothers must see you like a proxy dad on some level.
Yeah, usually. Like an intermediary dad. Yeah, exactly. Like if they have some questions, you know, which my father can't or directly won't answer, they come to me and we just have the conversation around stuff, around marriage.
Are
around...
they in Amsterdam with you?
Yeah, I just moved last year after the summer back to Amsterdam. So they live close by, not too close, but just good. Like 5 to 10 minutes. Yeah.
That's good. So you kind of try and maintain that kind of the kind of family setup that you have had in Turkey. You kind of try and replicate that in Amsterdam, I suppose, to an extent.
It's very different. If I was there, if let's say if we got raised there and with the same age difference, I think I would be more authoritative than what it used to be here, because here it's like the young ones, they know they're more liberated, more free to go and do what they want.
Mm.
And I have less much of a control here than if I would be in Turkey, you know, because there, as you said, like the my father figure is more is listened to, you know, like, and the replacement father is more present there than here. So they would be listening a lot more than here in Turkey in compared to Netherlands. And you know, I'm older and I also have children, so I have less time to spend with them. And also my...
But do they need you? That's the question. Do you feel like they emotionally, that they still need a father figure in their lives, and that whatever it is that you were providing, do you feel like they need that? Maybe they're not telling you.
Yeah, maybe they're not telling me, and then just see, you know, just go by with it, and then... But I do hear them sometimes mourning or complaining about, like, okay, my father not doing and saying what he's supposed to do. But, yeah, they just accept it. And then I always get in between. But then sometimes my wife's just like, okay, you know, you're a bit older. You have other responsibilities. Just leave them. You know, they're also 22, 3. They're getting growing up now. They're good kids, just let them by, you know. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna let them and not be too much controlling, because I just want the best for them. But then at some time it interrupts, you know, like if I would say, you know, you should come home and sleep, that is the thing my father would say, but I'm saying it even in holiday, you know, like. And then my wife's like, okay, just leave him, he knows where his responsibilities now, he's 22, he can decide when to come home, you know, like these things, stuff, yeah. Types of things. But yeah, you learn as you grow up and.
But what about the nurture? I mean, you know, I know for myself, when I was in my 20s, even though I wasn't saying it and I didn't understand it, I know I still needed a lot of emotional nurture as a guy from a man, not from, you know, if I wanted to get nurture from my mom or, you know, from women, that was actually very, especially in the Pakistani family, it's very accessible. But from men, to be able to get advice, you know, to, you know, okay, well, I just don't understand women, or I want to get married, or I'm struggling in the workplace, or, you know, with my career, or my health, or whatever it is, I just didn't feel like that was accessible where the men were concerned. And then you try and look for that in your friends, and then you realize they're having all of the same issues as well.
Yeah.
And so, you know, maybe your brothers are looking for it, but not saying anything.
Yeah, that's exactly what is happening now. Like, because these guys are challenged with a lot of different problems, you know, like they are in a different generation. The usual family circle is not there anymore, because the Dutch, you know, usually have not even marriages anymore. And if they marry, they don't get children till they're 40th or 50th age. And then this whole lifestyle, which comes with freedom, this is like, you know, projected to them. Like they see other friends doing all the stuff they want, but they know from their own raising, you know, that, okay, you're not allowed to go out all the time or do all the stuff you want, because there are some restrictions because of your religion or your cultural background. And then there's this clash. So when they grow up, they're like, okay, what I'm going to do next? And what I'm going to... And then I know one day my brother came home like, I want to quit my study, because, you know, he don't see any future in it. Because he was smart, he getting good grades, but he didn't feel attached to it. And then he came home talking with me and my wife about, okay, what I'm supposed to do now. But he should have gone this conversation with my father. He is accessible, but... He's behaving distantly, these guys don't approach him that easier, you know, but they come to me more faster. Football, we are consuming Netflix, all these unnecessary stuff, music or stuff like, but you should have conversation on regular stuff.
Yeah, I mean, instead of consuming all this content, what should be happening is men should be getting together and just chatting. And that is some, that is the opposite of what's happening. You don't see men just sitting and talking anymore.
No, we don't come together. And when we do come together, the main things are cars, it's sports, and it's women. It's this whole fleshy thing, which is, yeah, you can talk about it, it's normal, but then if you talk about it in like an hour, the whole discussion ends in pointless stuff. But when you talk shortly on this and then move on to the next topic, you get the sense of connectedness, sense of, you know, the sentiment of what.
Which is probably what you're finding more in Turkey, right? That sense of connection you're getting a lot more in Turkey, right? You're not getting that as much in Amsterdam, right? I mean, this is what I experienced as well in London, that, you know, especially one of my biggest bugbears is every time I meet a guy, whether it's somebody that I know already or even if it isn't, my biggest bugbear is that, and what I call it is that as soon as we sit down, they always talk shop. And what I mean by that is it's always about how's work, what do you do, what's going on at your workplace, and, you know, it's about career, like what have you to further develop your career. And if when that finishes, it's cars, and when that finishes, it's sports, and that's it. They're like the three, you know, the three circles, and that's it. There's nothing else. The conversation never goes further than that.
Yeah, that's why, I mean, the reason why I also wanted to move back to Amsterdam, I told my wife, it's not really necessary about the kids being closer to my parents so that, you know, with the school and work be picked up easy. That was the reason. But another major reason was to actually get back to connection with, like, other people, to have conversation on, you know, parenting, on unusual problems, which should be...
Everyday problem.
Yeah, talked about. And instead of all these empty discussions on football and whatever... And then I always try to change the subjects, you know, so that people think, you know, we forgot to think about stuff. And when you forget to think, others fill the gap for you. But then usually it's all about capitalism and consumers, and it's not always the best case. We should produce, we should sell stuff. It's not bad to sell or to create stuff. But then also the whole emotional side, mental side, you know, we have to have these discussions. I mean, parents stay home because they're like, oh, I mean, these kids do know what they are doing, but these kids still need some help, some support. So we should be there, as you said, like the older brothers who were in between these whole generations, to actually talk about this and then maybe produce more podcasts frequently. So then the young ones actually will try to listen.
Well, that's what I'm working on. I want to talk to as many, you know, what I want to do is I want to speak to as many men and women as possible. I don't think you can have a conversation about men without women. It's not about just speaking to men, but I want to speak to as many men and as many women as possible and have as many varied perspectives as possible as well. I want to get, you know, it doesn't, whether somebody is a Trump supporter or whether he's a Modi supporter or whether he's a footballer or another footballer, it doesn't matter, because it's just about creating discourse, because eventually you will find, you know, what somewhere in all of that, you're going to find what you're looking for somewhere, but it's only going to come out through conversation. It's not going to come out through anything else. I don't think so anyway. I mean, we're kind of proving it just with this conversation already, so.
Yeah. If I can be part of it, I'm glad that I can support this.
But yes, thanks for coming on today.
Yeah, I definitely feel the same about, you know, taking responsibility and just have this conversation more often, even online or offline, just to embark some spark on these young ones, you know, trying to challenge their lives and to be somebody, you know, like, okay, if I can point out who is like Ahmed or my brother, you know, who is he? Then I can say, okay, he is this type of guy. Because if there's no clearance, people don't trust you. And if there's no trust or visibility, you're just one of the other guys. So they have to feel, I don't know, like somebody, you know. And then, with this kind of stuff, you have to try to get the best out of them. So that's what I believe in as well.
Yeah, I think definitely in Muslim countries, a lot of these conversations were taking place in the mosques, when it wasn't this thing about, you know, don't talk in the masjid and silence, you know, Allah is watching and all this kind of stuff. And now all of that place for discourse is now switched off. So you got that, and then there's no conversation that takes place in mosque anymore because it's considered un-Islamic, which was never actually the case historically anyway. And then, you know, if you look at the Middle Eastern countries that we have now, the range of discussion is very limited because, you know, there are certain things that you're not allowed to discuss. Yeah. So that the range of conversation is stopped there. And then in Western countries, especially for Muslim guys, you know, because a lot of non-Muslim guys, they're spending a lot of the time in the pubs, but then they're getting intoxicated, so there's not a lot of conversation that necessarily comes out. And for the rest of us, you know, we don't go to pubs, and there's not a lot of places for us to hang out, because you don't always want to drink coffee. If you want to hang out for a few hours, you don't always want to drink, you don't always want to spend money on food. You just want to be able to sit and talk and have a space. But And at the same time, and Eid is always a really good example of this, is that if you get together with the family on Eid, the guys, they just can't sit and talk to each other because there's always, well, you know, there's elder men here, you should be talking to them, or why are you talking about, just like you say, why are you talking about your own thing? Because it's like you playing with your son. It's that same thing, the older version of that, which is, you know, you should not be talking between yourselves, you should be talking to the adults. So there's no room for men to bond. And they can only bond through conversation.
I mean, like, also the whole society got too much feminized, not in a bad way to speak, but just the feminism movement just got the ladies their own place to talk, their own place to work. And then all
these men don't have that.
The men got marginalized, you know, like they men shouldn't talk, not be authoritative, just do the work and stay home. That's it. But then a man is not made to stay home, to be honest, you know. He should stay home when it's needed, you know, with the children and, you know, to be like the safety, you know, the feeling of safety with the men, you know, what you have with your father. It's the same that we are fathers now. It doesn't change. But then we should be going out and then just have conversations and just talk about stuff. And then from there, things spark, you know, and then you just a movement comes and an idea comes out. But without talking, there is no idea creation. And without ideas, we don't have any.
But men aren't really talking, though, are they? The biggest thing that I know is that men don't actually talk anymore. They don't talk to each other anymore. They do stuff maybe together, but they don't really talk.
Exactly. We do go play soccer or play to have a bowling night or movie night. But then it's all around like a certain concept, you know, of doing stuff without talking ideologically on stuff which actually matter.
Like, even if you go for food, it's all about the food. It's about what burger you're having, about what, you know, what the fries are like, or what drink you had, and what coffee you have. It's not really about connecting.
Exactly. All these brands are filling the gap of, you know, like the emptiness. They are filling it with brands and money and, you know,
materialism. I think it's a real art to be able to speak. For a guy, it's an art for him to be able to communicate and articulate himself. And I think we've really lost a lot of that as well. Just to be able to, I mean, the biggest thing that I find is when I meet people, you know, a lot of people always want to come and meet me. Let's meet for a coffee, brother, or let's, you know, have dinner together or whatever. And I'm able to have a conversation. And I'm able to connect very, very quickly. I'm able to build rapport very, very fast. And they find that very unusual.
It's the same with me. Like, I don't see other examples of what I'm doing. As you said, like, I try to have this conversation to leave a, like, a footprint, you know, like, okay, when this guy
has talked on someone's heart, basically.
Yeah, actually, I've learned something from him and then me from him. But then the backside of it is that, like, once you showcase that you actually get interested, people look weird. Like, oh, why is he so interested in me? You know, like, you shouldn't.
You're an anomaly, basically. I was going to say exactly the same thing. I've had these situations where I've gone to like a wedding or something, or like a small party at someone's house, and I've been told, you know, you talk too much, or why are you speaking? Because it's so unexpected for a man to be able to hold a conversation, especially in our cultures now, for men to bond. They just find that so odd.
It's so strange that if you talk a bit more than what is expected, people look different to you and like, he's talking nonsense. But it's like, these are the conversations which are needed. So
that need to be heard.
You're more like
down, isn't it?
yeah, you're more like a rebellious or I don't know, anti-guy type of guy. But it's not like that. If I, when I talk, I try to incorporate all these levels of, you know, social, cultural, religious, and economical views into a, like a common sense thing. You know, I always talk not business wise, just easy words, and when the, and then try to give something, and then especially
you just want to connect, isn't it? You exactly. just want to have a connection, basically.
I mean, life continues, and we're all gonna die sooner or later. I mean, you see these car accidents or diseases coming up, and then people die when they're even 10 years old with cancer or 5 years old, even with birth. So life is too short to actually be strangled with all this emptiness. You know, we have to share love, share life, especially with men, to have conversations. You know, we all break these taboos on all these levels and just talk about it. So then that yes. we can become somebody, and instead of doing all this useless stuff, as you said, with Netflix and movies and burgers and pubs yeah. and stuff like that. Yeah.
Like that should be part and parcel, but it shouldn't be the focus, basically.
It shouldn't never. It should never be like that.
No. Yeah. Well, listen, Ahmed, I'm sure we could speak forever. It got a lot more scintillating near the end. Exactly. These kind of things take time. But I should give the listeners a rest because most of the episodes are normally between 45 minutes or so. But we should definitely speak again. Maybe we can reconnect. You know, further down the line, and then we can have a we can continue this conversation from where we left off at some point, maybe.
Sure. Well, let's do this. I mean, we can always have like a double interview with another person, you know, just have another type of podcast to maybe help the young ones, like focus more on the young ones and the topics around them and see what we can
I think
do.
All, I think all men need help right now, young and old.
Yeah, we just have to continue to give, and once we get traction, the young ones will show up. I mean, we are doing it digitally, so probably we will be heard some way. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time. I hope you have awoken your daughter, and have a good weekend, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, we'll definitely catch up. Thank you for this opportunity, and I hope you will meet much more of.
Definitely. I'll be coming to Turkey. Don't worry. I'm just waiting for God's permission, but I will come to Turkey and you and I will hang out there. Don't worry.
Sure. Yeah. We will be in Konya maybe next time. You never
Inshallah.
Know.
Inshallah.
Okay. Take care, brother. And do your best. Okay. Thank you.
Well, that was a wrap. I hope you enjoyed this particular episode on the When Men Were Men podcast. If you have any thoughts, if you want to send in anything that you thought about this particular episode or any previous episode, you can actually go to the anchor.fm website and send in a voice message. So if you're listening to this on the app, just click the voice message button and send in your voice message of your thoughts. A minute, 2 minutes, whatever you want to say, whether you disagree with something, whether you agree with something, just your general thoughts, whatever they might be, feel free to send those in. Obviously, keep it civilized. I can't believe I have to say this in this day and age. Let's have some civilized discourse about this. And if you'd like to learn more about me, if you can go to either the anchor.fm/Khuram Malik, that's Khuram hyphen Malik, that's probably where some of you are already listening to this. You'll see the link to my website. If you don't, if you're listening to this somewhere else, then you can go to krmmalik.com, which is krmm, that's 2 M's, Malik.com, and on there you'll have all contact details for me. If you want to get in touch, or if you know somebody that should be on this show with me, then let's talk about that.